What's that? You want to be scared? Come with me. You will experience tales of horror, ghosts, and death. It is not recommended for the weak at heart. Listen in the dark. It's more fun that way. This is Weekly Spooky.
My goodness. Hey, my friends, Henrik Hutto here, and thank you so much for tuning in this week to get a little scare. And what a week it has been for me, my friends. I have been working nonstop on a project that has tested me emotionally, as well as testing me just in my wherewithal. You know, a lot of times, especially when you work for yourself, the challenge really is to keep your own morale up, especially when oftentimes you're the staff, a staff of one. You have to keep your own morale up. I guess it falls into the kind of the space of what people often call self-care. You know, you need to make sure that for every 5 hours you're just banging your head into a keyboard, that there's a half an hour where you maybe have a sandwich and play a video game or something and just keep your mind going. So I just wanted to say I am on the tail end of a work marathon of something like 70 hours in 6 days, and I'm feeling good, and I want to share with you guys a story today that is truly disgusting. So if you have a sandwich or a ramen noodle cup or anything anywhere near you, I really recommend you just put it down or hit pause and finish it while it's still warm before you you listen to this one. Maybe treat it like swimming. Give it at least a half an hour before you dive in, because this one is weird and it's nasty, but I also kind of identify with it because it's all about having a really not great day on your creative job. So we're going to go to the story right now, and afterward I'll chat with you a little bit. But for now, please sit back and enjoy.
I Had Mothman's Baby, by Daniel Wilder, a Weekly Spooky original.
Earl entered the mobile home located in Lot 151 of the Comf-E Trailer Park at roughly 9:45 a.m., but the inside of that residence was as black as a moonless night, save for a few beams of light that weakly pierced the room from some random cigarette burn holes on the makeshift blackout curtains that hung from rods starting to bow from the weight. The air was sweet with the heady elixir of dollar store wine gone sour, weed, and what could possibly be a week-old filet-o-fish sandwich from the local Big M. And of course, that old hoary chestnut, piss. Not content with the redneck aromatherapy he was getting at no charge, Earl turned on the flashlight on his smartphone to discover he wasn't in a mere trailer. Oh no, this was surely the den of some dragon that had confused absolute shit for treasure. Everywhere he shined the light, there were piles of pizza boxes, beer cans, and tabloids. Hello? He cried with a trembling voice. Only silence. Well, silence and a cat hissing somewhere from under a nearby mountain of debris answered his call. Suddenly, from his left, he saw what at first appeared to be a scarecrow with large black eyes leap from behind a lazy boy festooned with porno mags and half-empty jars of Vaseline. As the creature charged him and smashed him to the ground, he saw it was, in truth, a scrawny woman wearing large sunglasses. "Jesus, Verlaine, you scared the unholy hell out of me!" "Shut your cocksucker and turn that damn light off," Verlaine hissed. Earl complied, and Verlaine grabbed his hand with a grip like iron and led him through the filth to the kitchen. Though how she saw where they were going in the inky darkness, with those glasses on no less, he couldn't say. Soon Earl found himself sitting at Verlaine's table in her completely dark kitchen, which amazingly didn't smell as bad as the previous room. Mainly just some unidentified wet paper smell filled the air. You look well, Earl managed. Bullshit, Verlaine spat. Literally, the flecks of phlegm she dislodged hit Earl in thick, hot globs. I look like a plop of cat barf left to dry on a hot August sidewalk. Did you call me here just to discuss your looks? No, I called you here because you're the only one I fucked in Stumpville Holler with any kind of media clout. Statistically, that doesn't seem extremely improbable, Earl said, itching his crotch by reflex. Look, I know you're calling me a whore with your fancy learning words, and you ain't wrong neither, but damn it, I have a story of the century here. Here in the comfy? No, you idiot, in all of Stumpville Holler. Hell, maybe the entire world. You know the Leader Gazette doesn't pay for stories. I'm not in it for any cash. I want to warn other girls so they don't make the same mistakes I have. I think over half the girls have made the mistakes you have. With the same men. Fair, but the mistake I made last was with no man that ever walked this earth. Christ, I'll bite. Lay it on me. It was round about last third, Earl pressed record on his phone's video option, though why he chose that, in a pitch black room, is a mystery for another day. Okay, you can start now. Damn it, I already did. Well, take two then. Fine. It was around about last third. Oh, turds, my battery died. Feel for your left. There's a charger cord right there. For a 10? I don't know. It's for one of them with the small hole. Should work. Let me see. For crap's sake, Earl, this story is going to rip reality to bits, and here we are monkey fucking around with your phone. Can't you just write shit down? I could, but my wrist cramps when I write by hand too much, plus it's completely dark in here. The sound of Earl's phone connecting to a viable charging source rang out. See? All good. Okay. Go. It was around about last Thursday, and I went down to Sly's for a drink. I had a few and started to zone out watching the million-dollar movie. That's when the door flew open and he walked in. He was dressed in a large fur coat, and he wore a hat and scarf that covered his head. I couldn't see any detail about him at all, but goddamn did he get me horny. Local whore wants to screw. How's that for a headline? Laugh it up, Brainiac. You won't be laughing soon. Is that a threat? Consider it a promise. Oh, I always liked it when you played rough. Well, buckle up, sweetheart, because old Verlaine is going to take you to some tough turf pronto. Anyway, over he saunters, and he sits right down at the bar next to me, and I was mesmerized, only at the time I didn't realize it was that wing powder of his that was making me swoon so hard. Wing powder? Yeah, you see, this fellow was more moth than man. Moth? Man, like the Mothman? From over in Point Pleasant? They both spat after the mention of their ages-old rival town. The very same. Well, what was he doing in Stumpville Holler? From my experience, looking to get laid. He certainly picked the right gal. I should take offense, but when you're right, you're right. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. So he parks it next to me, and we begin with the small talk. He tells me he's a vacuum cleaner salesman working for Indrid Cold, LLC, selling the suckers door to door. And he just picked up the Stumpville Holler territory. Funny thing, though, he doesn't so much tell me this, but rather puts the information straight into my mind. Nothing much there to get in the way of his message. I don't have to take this shit from you. You totally do, though. Yeah, she said knowingly. Continue. Anyway, he tells me his whole life story, how he grew up as an outcast, how his first kiss was with his cousin. Gross. Should I remind you that we are cousins? Good point. Long story short, I invite him back here and he took off that coat, but I instantly realized he was just unfurling a pair of big old moth wings that he used to mimic a coat. What about the hat and scarf? Those were real. Amazing. Right? But I assure you that what was underneath was anything but human. But you did it with him anyways? Remember that powder I mentioned earlier? That crap flew everywhere when he spread those damned wings, and I was powerless as that devil dust covered me. I had flashes of Patrick Swayze in baseball, and when I woke up in the morning, my lover from beyond the stars had vanished. But my belly was swollen, and I had a case of the puke, something fierce.
You were pregnant?
Yeah, and extremely allergic to sunlight, hence the curtains. Still am, too.
So this pregnancy?
It went quick, yeah. A day or two of craving pickles and sub sauce, a few days of crying, but it was legit. I peed on a stick or two and it all checked out.
Did you consult a doctor?
No, hell no! What would I tell them? Hey doc, I think I have some alien larva in my womb. Care to take a look or spray some Raid up that bitch?
I see your point.
So I holed up here, and I got the urge to make a nest right quick, so I hoarded anything that brought me any sense of being at ease. Junk food, porn, and there was one craving I couldn't resist. Vaseline. I ate that shit like a high-quality French onion dip, spread across crackers, chips, anything that could get in my mouth faster and faster. Not to mention lip balm.
Strange and, nauseating.
Don't judge a woman what is with child.
Never would I dream of it, my fair lady.
You know, the fact that you speak like Shakespeare and live in a festering armpit like Stumpville Holler makes you look like a bigger award-losing dumbass than all of us in town combined, right?
You resemble that remark more than most.
Thank you. That's mighty sweet of you. Now, where was I?
Eating chapstick, as one so often does.
Huh? Oh, right, the Vaseline. So I ate and ate that stuff for days, at least two of them, and then finally I fell asleep.
You were awake for 48 hours eating petroleum jelly the entire time?
Sure was.
It never occurred to you that that was strange?
It occurred, I just didn't care. It was that damn powder, I tell you.
I'm sensing you've had plenty of powder lately.
Damn you, Earl, I am not high.
Right, yeah. Then what happened?
Well, sometime during my nap, I sat up in bed and puked that jelly up all over my cooch.
I think I'll change that to groin in the piece, if that's okay with you.
Do what you must, Earl. Just make sure people heed my words.
I'll do my level-headed best, Verlaine.
So anyway, I woke up with my pubes itching something fierce. Then they came out in clumps, but I saved them in a jar, just in case you think eggheads may need to give them a once-over after they read your piece.
After this goes live, I may need to weave them into a coat to stay warm on the streets I'll doubtlessly be living on.
You always was a kinky one, Earl. You get that from our grandmother.
Both crossed themselves at the mere mention of the woman.
That's when I noticed my entire private area was swollen and growing longer. That barf jelly had made my skin stretchy and helped keep things well lubricated.
What does it say that that's the second most gross thing I associate you with?
What's number one, the sperm burp incident?
Earl shivered.
Yes, may it never be spoken of again.
May it never be spoken of again, Verlaine repeated in agreement, shivering as well.
Shall we continue?
Against all common sense, I'm gonna have to say yes.
Things kept getting longer and longer until my whole lower half looked like a throbbing potato with two tiny legs kicking on either side. And then...
Yeah?
Well, things kept vibrating and churning until my vag opened up wide as a hound's yawn and a big old egg rolled on out.
You, laid an egg?
Yes, Mel Tillis, I sure did.
What did you do with it?
Well, once my parts shrunk back down, I sat on it.
Sat on it?
Yup, right in my lazy boy.
For how long?
I don't know, a few hours, a few days. Anyway, pretty soon that egg got to rocking and rolling, and before long it started to crack right open.
Earl pinched the bridge of his nose and sighed. He waved for Verlaine to continue.
I don't know what I was expecting to crawl out of that shell-covered hell, but a giant maggot wasn't it, that's for sure.
Earl gagged, but quickly regained his cool when he remembered the massively unreliable narrator spinning this yarn.
Are you fucking me?
Not yet.
Is that still on the table?
No, God no. I meant, are you just making this up? Seriously, what on earth would I stand to gain from this? My vagina looks like a basketball hoop and I literally screwed a space monster. This is a new low even for me.
Point taken. So your larva, my baby, sorry, your baby, my apologies, accepted. Anyway, what about it?
What did you do with it?
I fed it, first of all.
Like, with your breast?
No, I gave it a plate of wings and a Coors to wash it down.
Yes, with my breast, and guess what? It leaked pure petroleum jelly. It was like liquid gold for my offspring.
Then what?
Well, that was 2 days ago, and after that I discovered a fun fact. My pride and joy was attracted to light. And I also couldn't help but notice it had shed its skin and now looked like a charming cross between a toddler and a gypsy moth. That's when I decided to take a mental health break and shut out the world beyond these trailer walls.
Earl had to admire the near Greek tragedy laid out before him. Child sired by a godlike being to a mortal woman, albeit one that oozed Vaseline from her nipples, but still a mortal woman besotten with a being she could scarcely understand. A star-lost wonder stranded on a cruel earth.
I imagine it's hungry again. You want to see the little fucker?
Wait, it's here now?
Sure. Where else would it be? This is its home sweet home.
I don't know. It never crossed my mind that it would be here.
It is. Here, let me turn on some lights.
A flashlight beam cut through the darkness. From somewhere deep within the mobile home came the sound of refuse being knocked asunder.
Here, boy. Here, Aloysius.
You named it after Grandpa?
I promised my mama I would.
The sound of multiple skittering footsteps filled the trailer. Verlaine swung the flashlight in wild arcs, one of which illuminated her face. Earl recoiled at the sight of her parchment skin and radiation-burned eyes, now devoid of sunglasses, that wept tears of opal-colored pus down her sunken cheeks.
Here, Al. Come out and meet your cousin Earl, now.
The footfalls grew even closer until suddenly they stopped just left of where Verlaine was sitting. She turned the beam on her spawn.
Isn't he a sight?
Earl felt the vomit rise and splash against the back of his teeth, but against all odds, he managed to swallow his puke down with a mighty gulp. There in the flashlight illumination stood a being, part insect, part human, and the nastiest element of both. It looked at him with eyes equal parts his grandmother and a gypsy moth he squashed on his prized begonias a few weeks back.
It's beautiful, ain't he?
It was no sooner than when Verlaine uttered those words that her baby's eyes lit up like two rubies forged in hell's inferno.
Oh, he's doing his thing on you. Look away, Earl.
I can't.
Don't look him in the eye.
It was too late for any warning. Earl had looked into those eyes and he was transfixed like a deer in headlights.
Al, you stop that this instant.
Earl's eyes swelled and began seeping a viscous fluid that smelled of tuna fish and cinnamon.
What is happening?
I think he's fixing to... Before Verlaine could finish her words, Al had extended his razor-sharp proboscis and jammed it through Earl's skull.
Stop eating your cousin, you son of a bitch!
Verlaine was too late in her reprimand, as Al siphoned Earl's cerebral fluid. Not to mention various other bodily fluids, in a fraction of a second, and left only a withered husk in his wake. Earl's corpse fell to the litter-strewn floor in an unceremonious heap. Al retracted his feeding tube and cuddled up in his mother's arms, purring softly.
Damn it! Now where am I going to find anybody else to tell our story?
Al burped and nuzzled close.
Oh well, maybe I can rub my goods against someone from the Gazette. It's only a town over.
She spat a glob of thick phlegm on the floor.
But beggars can't be choosers when it comes to publicity. Ain't that right, baby?
Al cooed softly and drifted off to sleep.
On that note, who wants some pulled pork sandwiches? Or how about some ribs? You know, fat back ribs, the good stuff with the gristle right on there. You know, we haven't had a story quite this wretch-inducing since Thanksgiving, of course, when we did a story called Thanksgiving Dinner, which I highly recommend you check out if you haven't heard it already. what a nasty one. And, you know, but could we expect any less from our lovely producer and an often writer, Dan Wilder? Dan did a great job of making me feel kind of queasy in the middle of, you know, my fun time of the week reading the stories aloud. So thanks, Dan. Thanks a whole lot. But speaking of Dan and I's collaboration, I do want to mention, and I've been mentioning it the last few weeks, and I'm going to need to, my day job is making movies, mostly as director, often as producer. Dan was the screenwriter on a film I just that was just released called Ouija Room. You know, like the Ouija board, Ouija Room. It's available nationwide in the United States of America on Walmart. Walmart stores are at walmart.com. You can also get it at Amazon. You can also rent it on Amazon, Vudu, Fandango Now, Microsoft Xbox, anywhere really that you rent movies. And if you're lucky enough, like me, to have a Family Video in your local area, you can rent it there too, my friends. So please, if you get a chance, check out Ouija Room. I also want to mention this show is sponsored by me. I'm the one who sponsors the show. I'm the one who forks out the expenses and puts the time in along with my good buddy Dan. So please, if you enjoy the show, there are two ways you can support it. You can either go to henflix.com and buy a cool movie on that web store. It's my web store, so all the money goes directly there. Or you can go to weeklyspooky.com and you can find out how to sign up for our Patreon or even just buy some cool merch. We have some pretty cool Weekly Spooky hoodies and t-shirts. Grab yourself a hoodie before the weather fully turns warm. It would help a whole lot. And of course, you know, subscribe if you haven't already subscribed. If you're listening to this via a service like YouTube or something, hit a like button or hit a share button. You know, you guys know the call to actions. I don't want to be that guy that is constantly demanding call to actions, but I do want to keep seeing the show grow, and we have been growing a ton. Our Patreon has grown, our downloads have grown, and I am very, very proud of how far Weekly Spooky has come in just, I think this is the 18th episode. 18 episodes. We've grown a whole hell of a lot, and I look forward to us growing even more. So please, if you get a chance, share this with somebody who likes to get scared. Maybe not this episode. This one might be the one that knocks our downloads down as people are too busy vomiting to hit subscribe on their podcast app. But I had a great time reading it, and I hope you guys did too. And if this was your first episode of Weekly Spooky, sometimes we get pretty gross, but every week we try to do a story that is a little bit different than the week before. So, you know, we've got some cool stuff coming up, a lot of cool stuff coming up. We actually have like five or six stories in the queue, which is really exciting because it means that, you know, the show is really feeling sustainable. At first, when I started doing a scary story every single week, I was not sure how I was going to come up with the stories, where they were going to come from, or what the quality could even be like. But the people who have been contributing to the show have really blown me away. Oh, and in the next week or so, we will have our first ever fan-submitted story. I am very excited to narrate that one for you. And if you have a story you would like to submit, ideally over 2,000 words, and you'd like us to consider reading it right here on Weekly Spooky, just email us at weeklyspooky@gmail.com, or just find all the information at weeklyspooky.com. But anyway, my friends, I'm going to get the heck out of here and go do some other stuff. And I'll be back here next Wednesday to deliver some more scares and maybe a little bit less of those burps that kind of feel like they might be vomit. So anyway, my friends, thank you so much for listening. I'll catch you next week. And of course, a big, big fat thank you to our podcast boosters on Patreon. That's Kevin Fry, Jack Kerr, Jason Lindbergh, Karen Wiemet, Nicholas Dawson, and Craig Cohen. Thank you all so much for helping us make this show spooky and weekly. So anyway, I'll talk at you later.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to find your way back next week. But for now, you are safe. Trust me.